Welcome back. Today we're looking at a piece that critiques the, well, the loss of credibility in quality auditing.
Mm-hmm.
It highlights how auditors sometimes compromise standards, like ISO 19011, basically to keep clients happy.
Yeah, that core tension.
Exactly. So let's dive straight in. First point, we need to make that core conflict, the auditor's professional duty versus the business pressure, really sharp, right from the beginning.
Define it immediately, you mean. Create that tension up front about the choice they're making.
Precisely. The impact needs to land harder.
I see that. The material makes a pretty serious claim, doesn't it? That auditors are choosing observations over non-conformities.
Right. Issuing minor findings instead of, you know, major or minor NCs just to keep the business.
Which is, yeah, a direct hit on impartiality.
It is. That specific shift, the NC down to an observation, that's the technical proof of the ethical problem.
But the critique then jumps maybe a bit too quickly.
Yeah, it jumps to that quote about ethics not selling, the Iacocca reference, which is, look, it's powerful, but it kind of dilutes the specific ISO 1911 violation that just got mentioned.
Right, it softens the blow just when you've landed it. We need to stay with that specific compromise first, I think.
Agreed. So the suggestion is maybe focus more on framing that business need as a kind of a shadow criterion?
Oh, I like that. A shadow criterion. Something that's actively undermining the official standard, ISO 1911.
Exactly. Show the scale of that specific ethical failure, how the shadow criterion wins out, before bringing in the supporting quote.
Okay, so concretely, how do we show that?
Well, we could detail what should happen according to the standard, maybe a major NC for a clear system breakdown.
Right.
And contrast that directly with what the material says is happening, this downgraded observation or opportunity for improvement.
So you clearly show the intentional mislabeling. It's not an accident. It's a choice to avoid penalizing the client.
Yeah. Pull back the curtain on the why behind that choice.
And maybe. Maybe we push the writer to explore the mechanism. How does the business side actually override the quality side?
Go beyond just assuming it's about profit?
Yeah. Like, suggest exploring the auditor's compensation. Is it tied to keeping clients?
Ah. So ask directly, is there pay or job security linked to audit renewals?
Exactly. Posing that question makes the business pressure much more concrete, much more systemic than just, you know, one auditor making a bad call.
It points to an institutional incentive rather than just individual ethics. If your job depends on the client coming back, then impartiality becomes really, really difficult, maybe impossible financially.
Okay, that sharpens the first point significantly. Now, how does this ethical issue connect with technology? The piece mentions remote audits.
Right. The second big point, this observation about remote audits potentially eroding credibility even further. It needs, well, a bit more analytical depth, maybe?
Show it as a systemic problem, not just anecdotes about clients being dishonest?
Yeah, the example given is good. Clients filling out self-audits, saying everything's perfect. Maybe one tiny issue so it doesn't look too perfect.
It's a compelling picture of deceit for sure. Almost funny, like you said.
But the weakness, I think, is that the critique doesn't really dig into why remote auditing is so vulnerable to this. It shows the effect, manipulation, but not the underlying cause.
The structural weakness in the method itself when you can't be there physically?
Exactly. We need to shift from just blaming the client to analyzing the inherent limits of remote auditing for certain types of evidence.
Okay, so what kind of evidence?
Well, documents are easy, right? Upload, review digitally. Fine.
Sure.
But what about things you need to see, observe, like audit trails in practice, or judging the actual operational compliance, the culture?
Yeah, you can't easily verify a commitment to safety culture remotely, or check if the maintenance logs truly match the physical state of the machines.
Right. The moment the auditor isn't walking the floor, asking questions on the spot, observing unexpected things, they lose access to a whole layer of evidence, objective evidence.
So are we suggesting the writer contrasts document verification, which works remotely, with observational or physical verification, which often doesn't, or at least it's much harder?
Yeah. Explore which quality assurance elements become weak or even impossible remotely. How do you verify process effectiveness just through a video call and self-assessments? You miss the nuances, the real human behavior.
The unplanned stuff, the workarounds.
Exactly. focusing on that structural vulnerability, the inability of the remote process to handle certain verification types, lifts this section. It's not just bad clients. It's a system potentially set up for failure.
And that failure then compounds the ethical issues we talked about first.
Precisely. It makes the compromise easier, maybe even seem necessary sometimes if you can't get the real evidence.
Okay, good. That gives a clear direction for strengthening the remote audit critique. So finally, the ending, the call for quality with a capital Q.
Powerful idea.
Very. But it needs more concrete, actionable recommendations to tackle the systemic failures the piece identifies.
Right. The piece does a good job outlining two big problems, the ethical compromises and the remote audit issues.
But the current ending, that appeal about we are all customers seeking quality, it feels aspirational.
It is. It's motivating, maybe, but it doesn't give the reader a clear what next. No roadmap for actual change.
And given the technical depth shown earlier in the piece, the writer clearly can propose something more concrete.
So the suggestion is to challenge the writer, push them to offer specific governance or incentive changes or transparency solutions?
Yes. Things that would make it harder, riskier professionally or economically, for auditors to choose business over issuing the necessary nonconformities.
That makes sense. Turn the critique into a call for specific reforms. But, you know, changing global standards, that's tough. What kind of realistic, maybe smaller scale things could they suggest?
Good question. We need concrete examples. Okay, how about transparency? Suggest mandatory public reporting of anonymized audit outcomes.
Anonymized, so not client specific.
Right, where privacy allows, not proprietary stuff, but aggregated data. Like the ratio of major NCOs to observations issued by different certification bodies.
So you create market pressure if one body seems to be downgrading findings way more often.
Oh, it becomes a public liability for them. It forces standards up.
That uses market forces. Clever. Okay, what else? What about the incentives we discussed?
Definitely need to tackle that. Suggest requiring a system that completely decouples auditor pay or job security from client renewal.
Break that link.
If the auditor's paycheck isn't tied to whether the client renews next year, their impartiality gets a fighting chance, right?
It directly attacks that shadow criterion we talked about, removes the financial conflict of interest, or at least reduces it.
Exactly. And maybe one more. Given how serious downgrading major NCs can be, what about oversight?
Like another layer of review?
Maybe suggest a mandatory independent review board. Specifically for cases where a major nonconformity was identified but then got downgraded.
A specific panel just for those downgrade decisions?
Yeah, it adds a check and balance that seems missing now. It raises the bar, the administrative cost, the professional scrutiny on making that specific decision to downgrade a serious finding.
Okay, those are really concrete. Transparency, decoupling compensation, independent review for major downgrades. That definitely transforms the ending.
Right? It goes from a general hope for quality to a practical set of levers for reform.
It shows the writer hasn't just identified a problem, but has thought about how to start fixing it. That significantly boosts the impact.
So that wraps up our thoughts for today. We touched on three main areas. First, sharpening that core conflict business versus ethics by really focusing on the ISO 19/11 violation and that idea of a shadow criterion driven by compensation.
Mm-hmm. Then second, deepening the analysis of remote audits, moving beyond anecdotes to look at the systemic weaknesses and verification methods when you're not physically present.
And finally, pushing the conclusion from just aspiration to actionable solutions. It's things like transparency and outcomes, changing incentive structures, and independent review boards.
Yeah, implementing those, especially nailing down that shadow criteria idea and offering those concrete solutions at the end, that's going to make this critique much stronger, much more rigorous. It's important work, and these changes will help it land with real impact.
We definitely think so. We look forward to seeing the revised version. Please do submit it back to us when you're ready. We'd be keen to see how it evolves.